Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from Berlin and the 2019 European Compliance and Ethics Institute. I am joined by one of our speakers today, Jackie Cheslow of the AVIS Budget Group, a longtime participant in this conference and actually others of ours. So Jackie, thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate you having me.
So we're going to talk today about your session and some of the ideas in it. And you're addressing the topic of taking your compliance program from good to great. First, what do you mean about moving from good to great?
Well, all of our compliance programs evolve daily. And each of us, it is a different point in our careers and in our programs. And this audience consisted of everything from newly appointed compliance liaisons to experienced compliance and ethic professionals moving into new positions. So for companies just starting programs, those with monitors, some in very mature stages, good to great has a different meaning for all of us. It's all about moving forward, evolving your program from informal to evolving to optimized.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny, you raise an issue about everyone being at different places. I think one of the funny things that we encounter is people will periodically say you need more advanced sessions, and advanced depends on where you are in your development. Now, what are some of the barriers that prevent compliance programs from rising to the next level?
The barriers can be numerous. They can range from anything from the geographic locations of your organization. Some of us have nice streamlined organizations, companies like AVIS Budget Group, multinationals with thousands of locations. Organizational, where do you sit in the organization has a lot of to do with your impact on the business and what you're able to accomplish. Resource constraints and funding, which I haven't met a compliance professional yet who doesn't encounter those. And then in addition to all of that, you have cultural and social economic barriers in your employee populations. So trying to communicate cross borders, cross language issues, cross religious background and upbringings, and the cultural differences themselves are just an amazing challenge.
Yeah, and certainly at a conference like this with people from all across Europe and in fact the world, you can see just the tremendous range of resources, a tremendous range of where people are and what issues they face. So now, what techniques have you identified that came up in your session for helping organizations realize that they could do more with their compliance programs?
Well, we talked extensively about moving away from just being a program manager. For the most part, the companies have in place their policies, their procedures, the infrastructure's there. So how do you move yourself from being that program manager to becoming part of the business decision-making process, becoming a senior advisor, making yourself valuable from a business perspective so you're included everywhere you go? Moving from focus on the number of trainings we're accomplishing or the number of policies we're rolling out, and using analytics to look for behavioral issues, to look for potential risk areas, and then actually drive change. So some of us are in the infancy. I am in the infancy in using data analytics, but I'm finding that there's a lot that can be said from a very little bit of data. So the more you have, I think the more we'll be able to use it. We talked about changing the conversation from no, you can't to yes, you can. The business still looks at compliance as a roadblock, as a barrier, and we've got to overcome that. We have to become the people who say, let us figure out how you can do that, as opposed to no, you can't do that. And then finally, we need to drive a change in how compliance is viewed from a cost center, which is not true, to demonstrating that we bring value to visit. How do we impact business? Improved operational efficiencies, and in some cases, we even drive revenue. But historically, we've never considered ourselves in that light, and we need to.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, the conversations here have been this morning were interesting about things like in the third-party risk area. People are complaining. One person told the story about the fact that there were a lot of complaints about why are you making us now send out these questionnaires to our suppliers, and pointed out, well, wait a minute, our customers are sending them these questionnaires.
And I love that example. That was perfect.
Yeah, it really was. And it really shows how in the end, by doing the right thing, you're actually able to get business that you wouldn't normally be able to. So what were some of the ideas that came out of the discussion you had in your session for next level great compliance?
there was a tremendous amount of discussion about the data analytics aspect, even from those organizations who didn't have a significant amount of data. And then we talked about changing the terminology we use. You know, we keep talking about compliance, let's talk about better business practices. We talk about risk avoidance, let's talk about, you know, the opportunities in what you can do. And to always, always focus on the what's in it for me. Who are you speaking to? Who's your audience? If there's not something there that they can grasp onto, you're not going to get them. They're not going to be paying attention to you. Stop being a rule maker. It's something I've talked about previously. You want to be providing employees and information with the tools they need to make better decisions and to make sure they know where to go for help when they're not sure what to do, as opposed to laying out a list of don'ts. Right? And then perhaps the biggest discussion of all yesterday, and it was really where we kind of wrapped up, and I think we're going to continue the discussion afterwards, was how to be an enabler. Compliance shouldn't be a bar to anything. Compliance is there to help the business accomplish its goals. So how do you get to a point where you can discuss how to make things happen rather than why they shouldn't, so that you're supporting effective risk-taking and innovation?
What's interesting to me as you're talking about all this is there's sort of two halves to this coin. On the one hand, we're asking compliance people to, you know, like you said, go from being no to being yes, but this is, you know, and this is how, if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you still lay out what the requirements are, but it's less confrontational. That's one half. The other half is hoping that the business people start realizing differently about you. I just wonder, what's the best way, do you think, that we'll be able to accomplish that? Is it just one of those things that after enough time of compliance coming up, helping them identify the solutions, see their ways around barriers, not in the wrong way of cheating, but about how you set up structures to control issues? Or is there a way that compliance people can start reaching out now to the business unit to start helping them understand better what the role really is about?
Well, I would start with the first example that you mentioned earlier about what your customers are asking for. And for us, I find that's a really excellent way to get compliance into the discussion. We are in a commodity business. And nothing sets us apart from our competitors. We all rent vehicles. But if you can make compliance a competitive differentiator, say we are the company who does it right, it makes a huge difference. And every single one of my corporate customers submits questionnaires asking about our compliance program. So we work with the sales team and we built out an FAQ they can use, they can answer questions, we address whatever else they have. So now they come to us. You know, they want to be there. The other thing that I find very helpful is every conversation I have with anyone in my business at any level opens with, how can we help? Now, I never ever would open a conversation with what's wrong.
Right.
Why are you in compliance's office? No. We open the conversation with, how can we help? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And in a lot of cases, it's not a compliance problem they're trying to solve. But we have a very unique perspective in that we get involved in every area of the business. So often I can't help you solve your problem or solve for whatever the end goal is, but I can help you find the right people to do it. So I become an asset to the business, even when it's not on a compliance perspective, and I get invited in more often.
That's great. I mean, what's funny is you're making the point is that compliance is in an odd position in organizations because you are one of the parts that touch everybody, and you start seeing both common challenges as well as, hey, you know what, we solved this problem for them here.
Exactly.
That might be relevant for others there. Now, you touched on something, I think, that really provides dimension to the challenges organizations face, and what I never thought of is that, you know, when we talk about, for example, third-party risk, organizations are much more focused on sales agents and things like that, but the realization that, you know, gosh, I spent a lot of money through rental car companies.
Yeah.
Are you, from others that you know in the hospitality industry, is that, do you think the hospitality industry is starting to see much more scrutiny of the risks that are inherent, that businesses see in dealing with them?
I don't think they're going to have a choice. from both the financial aspect to the compliance aspect. As a matter of fact, we just rolled out a dashboard for our corporate customers where their travel arrangers can monitor performance against their contract by their employees. Are their employees complying with their internal policies when they're renting vehicles through Avis? Hmm. So they want to see more. And I think those that drive our revenue stream are going to drive our internal processes even more than they do now, because they want to be compliant. And if you're not compliant, and if you're not in a position to offer them the data they need, then they're not going to do business with you.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, you know, there you're talking about a dashboard created that the compliance department is creating that's actually helping the sales department show its customers where things are.
I wish I could take credit for the dashboard.
Oh.
I had some input into it, but not creating it. There's okay. A lot of things I'll take credit for, but that
okay,
one I can't.
Good. But even so, it's a nice melding of compliance into the business in the right sort of way, and that the disciplines that you have relevance elsewhere.
Yeah. So for them, it's a sales tool. Look what we can show you. But when they came to us, they said, what will they be looking for? What kind of information would you need if you had these kind of tools? So it's a great collaboration. And again, helping the business, becoming an enabler.
Well, Jackie, just want to say thank you for leading the session yesterday and for sharing your insights with us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.